Welcome to Message Share of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. This is Rick Waltz, the pastor and elder. Today we are considering together at the rising of the sun from Mark 16, verses 1 through 15. At the rising of the sun, S-O-N, symbolic of the illustration in this passage of the events that occurred on that resurrection morning at the rising of the sun. The light of the world is Jesus. The hymn is 679. And as this concerns the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can sing hymn number 206, Up from the Grave He Arose. Thank you. Thank you, Hannah. Our passage is Mark 16, verses 1 through 15.
And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a white long garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him, and as he said unto you." And they went up quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus had risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. And afterwards he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them that had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature."
Amen. Thank you, Deb. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the great victory that was accomplished after the crucifixion at the cross of Calvary, after the proclamation that it is finished. Now we have witnessed the proof of the deity of our great King. We thank you, O Father, for the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. We thank you for the hope and the promise that we have as a result of his resurrection. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we turn to this passage, we commemorated with the theme of at the rising of the sun. It was on the date April the 4th, 1742. That John Wesley preached his sermon at Oxford, "Awake, Thou That Sleepest," which came to be his most printed sermon. In that sermon, he likened the state of the sinner, which the scripture records as we are dead in trespasses and sin. Wesley likened it to a sleeper who is oblivious to the judgment, to the danger, to the eternal peril that his soul lies in. But by the exhortation of the Holy Spirit, we are exhorted to awake from our slumber, to learn and to apply the principles of the Word of God, and to repent and believe in that resurrected Savior who paid the penalty for our sins. Thus, we remember the service, the faithfulness, and the message of salvation and hope presented by John Wesley. In this passage, we have at the rising of the sun, here on the first day of the week, several of those women who had gone to purchase spices for the anointing of the body, we're told here that at the rising of the sun, on the first day of the week, they went to the sepulchre. They went to the burial place where they had seen Joseph of Arimathea lay the Lord in the hewn-out rock of the tomb. It was the custom of the Jews to anoint the body with sweet-smelling spices. And thus, on that morning, for they had been unable to do it on the day of the preparation before the Sabbath. But once the Sabbath was completed, and at the next opportunity, early on the morning of the first day of the week, they went with their spices to finish the task of the anointing of the dead. As they approached the tomb, they wondered among themselves who would move the stone away. For it was, as we see here, a great stone. It was that which had been secured in place and sealed. Matthew and Luke remind us also that the Romans had gone to great lengths at the instigation of the chief priests and the scribes, who had known of the prediction, the promise that he would rise again from the dead on the third day. They had stationed Roman guards at the entrance of the tomb after it had been sealed and after the great rock had been put into place. The other accounts tell us of the great earthquake and the stupor which fell upon the guards, who were unable to hinder the promised resurrection, and the great fear that came upon them as a result. Mark does not give us those details, but proceeds immediately to the account of the women, the witnesses who visited the tomb and were the first to witness the truth of the resurrection. As they approached the tomb, they noticed that the stone had been rolled away. They entered into the sepulchre, and Mark tells us that they saw a young man seated at the right side. Matthew records a conversation with one angel as well. Luke, on the other hand, notes that there were two angels in white robes who were present at the tomb. This is not a contradiction, however, but merely the perspective of various accounts, various witnesses. The focus here is on the one who spoke to them, and not a denial that there were, in fact, two angels present. Oftentimes, angels, particularly in the Old Testament, and no doubt in the New, also appeared as men, and therefore the initial description of the angel as a young man seated at the right side. This angel knew their business. He knew why they had come. He knew what they were seeking. For he says, "I know that you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here." This was an affirmation of the truth of the resurrection. It was an expression of the events which had preceded. And thus, he gave them further instruction. He reminded them of the prophecy that Jesus had told them that after the resurrection he would see them again, and they would see him again, that they would reassemble at Galilee. And the angel here tells them that they are to go and tell the other disciples, to tell the disciples and Peter, specifically Peter, because Peter had been the one who had most vehemently denied that he even knew the Savior. So the message was general to all of them, but specifically an encouragement and an exhortation to Peter to proceed and to regather at Galilee, as he had told them. A fulfillment of the prophecy. God always brings to pass that which he has promised. And so too here, the angel affirms that a further prophecy is about to take place. Here we see that Mary Magdalene was present, as well as Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and also Salome, the wife of Cleopas, the mother of James and John. The other accounts indicate that there were other women present in the group. Luke identifies another by name, that Joanna was present. But they are told to go and to tell the other disciples what they have seen. Mark tells us that they were affrighted, that they were obviously terrified by what they had seen, the events that they had witnessed. Luke tells us that they left the tomb with great joy, though they were afraid. Mark tells us that they told no one. Matthew and Luke tell us that they went and they told the other disciples. This too is not a contradiction, for en route back to where the disciples were gathered, it is entirely possible that they did not express the events. They did not describe what had happened to any man. They were on a mission specifically to tell those whom the angel had instructed them to tell. And thus they did not speak to any man or anyone on the path back to the disciples. As they returned to the disciples and described what they had seen, we will see that there was initially a lack of response. Mark here tells us further that the first one to whom the Lord appeared was Mary Magdalene. Apparently she was separated from the others for a time, and the other Gospels indicate that encounter as Mary Magdalene met the Lord, the risen Lord, in the garden, presuming initially that he was the gardener and not immediately recognizing him. But then she realized that he was indeed risen from the dead. She and the other women then went back to the disciples and described what they had seen. But we're told here that the disciples did not believe it. The residue, those, the smaller group, they were present, but they did not believe. The Lord also appeared to two of them on the road into the countryside. The other Gospels tell us that it was specifically on the road to Emmaus, and describes the encounter as they were mourning, they were grieving, they had had their world turned upside down. But as they journeyed along towards Emmaus, the Lord appeared to them and recounted to them all of the prophecies in the Old Testament regarding who he would be, the Messiah, the promised Savior, the one who would suffer for the sins of his people, and the one who would be resurrected from the dead. And as they broke bread that evening, their eyes were opened. They realized who he was, and they immediately rushed back into Jerusalem to tell the rest of the disciples, to tell the 11 what they had seen. This again was met with skepticism and unbelief. They did not believe the two witnesses. Luke tells us that one of those two was Cleopas, the husband of Salome, one of the women who had been present that very morning at the tomb where the stone had been rolled away. But Cleopas and the other disciple relayed the news that he was risen, and the disciples did not believe. Throughout this entire process, the disciples again were slow to respond to the truth. The women were excited, they were afraid, but they were joyful. But again, the disciples did not believe. But then we see here that the Lord Jesus appeared unto them all, and he upbraided them with their unbelief. He rebuked them for their dullness of the response, for their failure to realize that he had indeed risen from the dead, that he had fulfilled his promise that on the third day he would rise again, and that he would meet them once again in Galilee, that he would give them further instruction. As the Lord met with them, he upbraided them, as oftentimes he chastises us for our slowness to respond, for our failure to apply and to understand and to live the word. We often pray that we might be not just hearers of his word, but doers of his word. And this is the case with the disciples. They had heard, but they were slow to respond. They were slow to realize the true impact of what his resurrection signified. They failed to heed the instruction, and thus they missed the blessing of what followed. As the Lord chastened them, he told them what they must do next. As with all chastening of the Lord, it is for a corrective purpose. It is that we might then proceed, learning from our past mistakes and going onward, running that race to accomplish the task which he has given to us. His task for the disciples was that they should go forth from that place and to preach the gospel to every creature. Their task was to proclaim the gospel message. The fact that we, by nature, are dead in trespasses and sins, that we have no ability to earn our salvation, that we cannot reconcile ourselves with a holy and a righteous God, but that there is a Savior, one who, as God in the flesh, had taken the penalty for our sins. He rose from the dead. He accomplished the victory over sin and death and hell. And he promises eternal life to those who will repent and believe. The disciples were instructed to go, first witnessing in Jerusalem, and then to Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. It was their task, thus, to spread the news of the risen Savior. They, like we, have the task of being ambassadors for the kingdom of Christ, to proclaim the need for a Savior, the fact that there is one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved, Acts 4:12. This is a truth which many have ignored. Men and women have come up with many different theories, many different philosophies on how we might identify with God, how we might reach heaven. But there is one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved, and that is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is His atoning work at the cross of Calvary. It is His resurrection from the dead, which alone can secure our eternal life. And thus the disciples were instructed to go and to preach to every creature. Oftentimes, those who are sinners are likened to creatures, to those who are like animals. And yet, by the grace of God, He transforms us into new life, the new life of Christ, being born again and prepared to serve the risen Lord. At the rising of the sun, these events which occurred at daybreak on the first day of the week, the representation is of a deeper spiritual application. The rising of the sun, the S-O-N, the Son of God. And thus the Lord Jesus Christ is affirmed to be the second person of the Trinity, the one who set aside His heavenly throne to come to earth, to pay the penalty for our sins, and to rise again from the dead to secure our hope and our eternal life. The message of the gospel is founded upon the necessity of His resurrection from the dead. The Apostle Paul would later say that if He is not risen from the dead, then our hope and our faith is vain. We have no hope. We would be the most miserable of all. But because He has risen, because He lives, we can face tomorrow. We have the promise that whatever the circumstances, whatever difficulties we might endure, whatever trials and tribulations we face, whatever persecution we might be called upon to suffer, we have the hope and the promise of eternal life and eternal glory. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You again for the resurrection, for the victory that was secured at the cross, for the fulfillment of the purpose for which the Lord had come to earth, as He fulfilled the will of His Father, as He accomplished our salvation. We thank You and praise You for all that was done. In His holy name we pray. Amen. This has been a message from the Sovereign Grace pulpit. For further information, contact us at www.localchurchpa.com.